I want to just speak a few moments on this subject this morning, since we're thinking about Thanksgiving. The keys to living the thankful life. Keys to living the thankful life. It's tragic, but from time to time you come across people, and it's written across their face. It seems like they have very little joy in their life. And oftentimes I find that people like that are individuals that find very little to give thanks for. There's something special about that spirit of thanksgiving when it enters a person's heart and their life to actually live with that in your life. It's as if joy grows in that fertile soil of the thankful heart. And this morning I thought, you know, God's word is so appropriate. Some people wonder, why do we always turn to the Bible? They think it's an old book, has old ideas and all that. But you know, it really has such wonderful advice for us in the times in which we live. For some, it's hard to be thankful. It's just not in their nature. But God shows us how we can truly be thankful and experience the blessing that comes along with it. Some people, you know, no matter what happens in their life, even blessings come their way and they don't recognize it. I read several years ago about an incident that happened in a post in the postal office there, the central station. It was over in Israel, in Jerusalem. It read like this. It explained that thousands of letters are sent each year to God that end up in a sorting office in Jerusalem. I guess they figure, well, Jerusalem, if you're going to write to God, that's the best place to send it, you know. And according to the Associated Press, the letters arrive from all over the world in the city's undeliverable mail department. Well, one fellow was commenting on this who worked there. He said, we have hundreds of thousands of letters sent to either God or Jesus Christ. And for some reason, they come to Jerusalem. In one letter, an Israeli man asked God for 5,000 shekels, that's their monetary system, which is about $1,000 in U.S., to ease his poverty. The postal workers who were there were so moved when they read that letter, they got together a little collection, and they sent him 4,300 shekels. About a month later, the same person wrote again to God, and they got the letter again, and it read like this, thank you, God, for the contribution. But next time, please don't send it through those postmen. They're thieves. They stole 700 shekels. Some folks just don't see the blessing when it's right in front of them. And that's the way it is, you know. There's something, though, about being thankful for what you have and where you are. And it does something to your spirit. It does something to your soul. God wants us to have a thankful life. I believe that. And there are several keys to being thankful, and I want to address your attention to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in verses 15 through 20. I'm just going to move through these quickly and just make a few points here to emphasize this truth. It's found in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 15. Keys to being thankful. It begins in verse 15 like this. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Now, this is advice that's being given by the Apostle Paul to the early church, to the Ephesians. He says, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. In other words, be careful in your behavior. There's something about that. Some things that come upon individuals that they have to suffer is simply because of their behavior. Unwise behavior. And the scripture says, listen, if you'll just be considerate about that. Consider how you're behaving in a situation. Sometimes it's so easy for us to see the faults in others and how they're behaving. We can identify bad behavior real quick. You know, we're real quick to do that. But oftentimes we don't see that maybe we're also guilty of that from time to time. And the scripture is telling us to be careful of that. Be careful how you walk. That is, how you conduct your life. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Be careful. And you're going to save yourself a lot of headaches down the way. And you're going to find that things are going to go a lot better for you if you just kind of take that to heart and be careful about that. Oftentimes we use that phrase, well, so-and-so needs to look in the mirror. And it's not because we're talking about their physical beauty or appearance. We're talking about, say, in a psychological sense, we're saying they need to look at themselves and assess where they are and what their behavior is. That's one key to finding the thankful life, living the thankful life. And then it goes on to say this in Ephesians. It goes on to say, not only to be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. It goes on to say, making the most of your time because the days are evil. And the second point is, manage your time wisely. Manage it well. It's amazing how often we have people say they just have no time. Have no time for this, no time for that. And it's not so much that they have too many things. Of course, we all could probably say that. There's too much going on in our life. But you know, a lot has to do with managing your time wisely. God's Word is telling us that. We need to manage our time well. And if we would manage our time well, that's a godly thing. That's a good thing. It'll open up those segments of time that we have that are wasted so often, and we'll be able then to do the kinds of things, the things that are necessary that need to be done, if we'll just be attentive to that. So not only are we be careful how we walk or what our behavior is, but also manage our time well. It goes on to say this in verse 17. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So the third key would be this, and that is to understand what the will of God is for you. Do you know what the will of God is for you? Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes we look at individuals and we see them in some kind of a ministry job or profession, and we think that they're the only persons who have some kind of a call in their life. They have the will of God. Listen, the will of God is something that all of us need to consider. There is a will of God for you and for your life. And you may or may not have discovered what that is. For a lot of people, I find a lot of Christians don't know what the will of God is. And they're frustrated, and they're going through life, and they don't have the joy of the Lord, and they don't have a thankful heart. And a lot of it has to do, they don't know what the will of God is. Well, if you know what the will of God is for your life, and you're living in the will of God, then really, no matter what comes your way, you're going to be able to handle it, because you're going to say, you know, I know what God's will is, and this is God's will, and if this is going to happen or that's going to happen, it really doesn't make a lot of difference, because I'm secure in the knowledge of what God's will is for my life. And that's all it takes. Sometimes that's all it takes, is just determining in your heart, in your life, what is God's will for me, and then begin to walk in that, and begin to follow through on that, and then you can handle a lot of stuff. You can handle a lot of stress. You can handle a lot of things, and you'll find that your life can be filled with joy, with thanksgiving to the Lord, because you know you're walking in the path that He has ordained for you. You know what His will is, and you're living His will out in your life. Goes on to say this in Ephesians 18 as we move down through these few verses. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Some people wonder, well, it doesn't say, you know, thou shalt not do, you know, drink this and that. Listen, I think this is clear enough what it says. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit. Stay away from intoxicants and drugs. You say, why would you say that to Christians? Because, you know, it's amazing how many Christians have problems with things like this. Life-controlling issues. Sometimes they think, well, I'm free in the Lord. I'm free and I'm not bound by anything. I don't need anybody telling me what to do. I'm just free. Listen, freedom has boundaries. That's what keeps you from falling into chaos and a chaotic condition and where you can get hurt. You have to have some boundaries. You can't just say, well, I'm free, I can do what I want to do. Well, try traveling down 93 rush hour at 100 miles an hour and see what happens. Yeah, you know, freedom has its limits. It has its parameters. And you need to realize that. And when it comes to this, when it says don't get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, one of the reasons why it's bad for you to be hooked on either drugs or alcohol is because when you're under the control of the alcohol or the drugs, really then, you cannot do what God wants you to do. Oftentimes, you'll find yourself weak to resist the enemy. The scripture says if you resist the enemy, what's going to happen? He's going to flee from you. You say, you know, the devil's hassling me. I've heard people say that sometimes. You know, well, Pastor, boy, the devil's really been after me this week. Well, you think the devil's after you? Then all you got to do, the scripture says, is to resist him. If you resist the devil, the scripture says he's got to go. He's got to flee. But you'll find that individuals that have trouble with imbibing alcoholic beverages, and maybe they're hooked on over-the-counter drugs, and that happens from time to time. What happens is their will is weakened because all of a sudden the enemy is able to come in and control their physical being because of the intoxicants that they've taken. And as a result, they may appear want to do the will of God, but they're weakened because of the intoxicants. And the scripture has things to say about not drinking alcoholic beverages for those who are in leadership, for kings and leaders, how you can lose your nation, you can lose your kingdom if you participate in those kinds of things. And you can make unwise decisions. And so there's wisdom here from God's word. And it says this in the New Testament, he's telling the Ephesians, look, evidently there were some folks who said, hey, it's no big deal. I can go ahead and drink wine, and I can do some of these things. It's not that big a deal. And the apostle is saying, don't do it. Be filled with the Spirit. So stay away from intoxicants and drugs and be filled with the Spirit. You need to ask for God to fill you with the Spirit. You know why? In a way, the Spirit of the living God is an intoxicant. You get an euphoria when you're in the presence of God. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You get in the presence of God. In fact, we used to, years ago in old time Pentecost, we used to use that phrase, when you see somebody lying on the floor, you say, what's that person lying on the floor? And they're like, they don't know anyone's around them or anything. It's as if they're intoxicated. And we used to use the phrase, well, they're just drunk in the Spirit. And what we meant was that wasn't the kind of spirits you go down to the local store and buy. It wasn't that kind of spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. We'd say, well, that person, God's gotten a hold of them, and they don't even know anybody's around. And some people, you know, when you're kind of drunk in the Spirit, we use that phrase, drunk in the Spirit, or when you're filled with the Spirit like that, you lose track of time. You think you're on the floor for just maybe 5 minutes or something, 10 minutes at the most. And sometimes people have been down under the Spirit for 2, 3 hours, 4 hours. And they get up and they think it's just a few minutes. And here they've been in the presence of God. God's been pouring into their life and just ministering to them. And they just feel the glory of God. They're intoxicated with the Spirit of the living God. What a wonderful thing. Some people want to get a high. The only problem is the only high, the earthly highs you get here, there's always a day after, you know, that comes. There's always the headache, you know, and break out the ice, get the aspirin, whatever you need, and you take care of your headaches or whatever you got. That hasn't happened to me, so I'm not real sure of how it is, but I'm just going by what I've been told. But I thank God I've never had a hangover, but I've seen some people that have had it, and it's not a pretty sight. It's not a pretty sight. They're trying to find every remedy they can to get out of it. You see, there's always a day after when you're drunk with the earthly spirits, but oh, when you're intoxicated with the heavenly Spirit of the living God. What a wonderful thing. Well, you get up from a place of prayer, a place of meeting God like that, and you can face anything. Anything. No discouragement in your heart, and your heart will be filled with thanksgiving. You'll have joy in the Lord because the Spirit of the living God has just come upon you and has done a refining work in your life. What a joy that is to have the presence of the Lord. It's one thing to see it in the life of another person. You know what? You need to desire it for your own life. Some of you have seen people come under the power of the Holy Spirit and say, why? Look at that. We stand back as spectators. God wants you to be someone who participates in what God is doing and experience that fullness of joy that comes when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you just break forth in tongues praising the Lord in the Spirit and you just kind of lose track of what's going on around you. It really doesn't make any difference because you're in the presence of the living God. You know, I have a feeling that's the great reward of the saints that pass on into the presence of Jesus. They're in the presence of the living God. There's something qualitatively different about the presence of the living God and the presence of any human being. And when you're in God's presence, everything you ever wanted in life and needed is there in His presence. And He just fills you with that. And you just don't want to leave. I've had oftentimes people say to me, "Well, Pastor, I just don't want to leave. I don't want to leave this place." You can understand why on the Mount of Transfiguration they wanted to build some altars there, because they had such a wonderful experience. That's the way it is sometimes in church. When the Holy Spirit comes down and revival's moving, people don't want to leave. And I a few occasions in my ministry, my wife, I've had to kind of shoo people out. Come on. You got a service in another half hour or so. The evening service is coming up or whatever. And then, that kind of thing on Sundays. And we've had to do that. People don't want, because there's something special when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's not like anything else. Let the devil have those other kind of spirits. Give me the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because there's power. Earthly spirits will debilitate you and will enslave you and hold you captive. But the Spirit of the living God will set you free in the might and power of the Holy Ghost. And you'll be like you never were before because of the presence of the Spirit of the living God in your life. Well, it says, be filled with the Spirit. As we move on in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Another key is worship and fellowship with the saints. We need each other. There are times when we may be alone and God fills us with His presence or a sense of His presence and He gets us through situations. But that's not really what the will of God is for us today. He wants us to be a part of His church. He wants us to get together with other saints, other people who believe like we do and enjoy the presence of the Spirit. God wants that for us. He wants you to be a part of a body of believers. And sometimes we call a church, but that's not always called. Sometimes they're gatherings. In China, they have these house churches. And in other countries, there are places where they've forbidden. They say, you can only have 30 or 40 people at one time together. And so some say, that's a terrible thing. How does a church survive? Well, it just means they have to meet in homes, and they scatter out, and the church grows that way. Church grows that way. The fact is that you... I need you, and you need me. We need each other, and we encourage one another. How often have you found someone that as you've come across during your everyday activity? You see someone at the store, whatever, and you know it immediately in your spirit. You know there's something wrong, and the Lord speaks to your heart and says, "Ask him what's wrong. Let him know you're concerned." And you do that kind of say, "Pardon me, but I don't want to pry or anything, but is there something wrong? I just sense there's something." And the person kind of doesn't want to necessarily say it. And then you say, "I'd like to pray with you if that's okay." And you just offer a prayer right there. The Lord has brought you to that person, that other, that brother in Christ or that sister in Christ. And they're hurting. They have a need. And in the moment of time, that happens because of the fellowship of the Spirit in our hearts. We need each other like that. And it says that we ought to get together for worship and fellowship with the saints this morning. It's wonderful to be in a place like this and to sing the songs of Zion and sing about heaven and sing about salvation, sing about our Lord. And together we rejoice and celebrate that unity that we have in the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful thing to experience. And you might have a great time worshiping the Lord by yourself off in a corner somewhere, and that's all right. There are times when there's a closet of prayer, so to speak, that we need to settle some things just between us and God, But oh, the joy that begins to flow when a number of people get together of like precious faith and we begin to lift our hearts to the Lord in prayer. The apostle says we ought to keep doing that, and that's one of the keys to having a life filled with thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And so we're to give thanks for all things. And I've spoken on this before, how difficult it is for us to thank God for some things. There are some things right now you can say, God, I thank you for this and that, and we can make a list. But there's other things perhaps on your little, in the back of your mind that you're thinking, you know, but God, I'm not so sure why you allowed this to happen or that. There was a sermon I'm kind of going over in my mind. In fact, I almost preached on Jonah today because, believe it or not, do you know that there's a Thanksgiving sermon in Jonah? There really is. And but I'll say that for another time. But some really interesting things the Lord was speaking to my heart about in the life of Jonah. But you know, we think that. We say, Lord, why did you allow this in my life or that in my life? And we don't realize that God can use all things. If you will allow him, all things work together for good to those who are called according to his divine purposes, who love God and are called. All things work together for good. And God can even use those things that are difficult in your life, those things that are stressful. You say, God, why did this happen? Why did that happen? And you feel bad about it. But if you stop and think about it, if you have the right attitude, God can bring you full circle and you'll begin to see that even in some of those things, maybe God allowed some things in your life for a purpose. Maybe there was a side path you took or whatever, and it might have been because of your own willfulness or for whatever reason. But even in that, God was able to kind of get your attention and turn you around and get you on the right path and get you to where he wants you to be. God can use anything. If we let him, he can do that. And then, if we move from Ephesians over just a couple verses from Philippians that I thought also fit in with this theme this morning. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 11 and 12. And it says this in verse 11 of Philippians 4. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. In verse 12, I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. What I would say, another key to living the thankful life is learn to be content with what you have. Someone would say, doesn't that stifle initiative at all? Not necessarily. You need to be open to what God wants for you. And you need to strive for things, but you need to learn to be content. One of the things the enemy will use in the lives of Christians is the spirit of discontent. I've come across it oftentimes. They love God and everything, but it seems like they always feel like they've missed out on something, or they're not having quite arrived yet, and they're just anxious. There's a spirit of anxiety in their hearts. You need to get to the point and that you just thank God for where you are. Think of where you could be. When I see some of the tragic pictures of those that are suffering in other nations and the picture of poverty in other nations, that is beyond anything we would experience here. Even the poor of our country wouldn't experience some of the things that others are going through in other parts of the world. If for no other reason, just out of a heart of gratitude, say, thank God I'm not there. I'm here. Be content where you are. Some people always have an itch. You know, they got an itch. They got to move there. They got to move there. Listen, be content. And that doesn't mean that you'll never progress to some place where you think you'd like to be something. You'll get there if you have the right attitude and if you learn how to be content and let the Spirit of the Lord work in your life and in your heart, and you can then focus on the good things of God. You see, with these various keys that are right here, be careful in your behavior, manage your time well, understand what the will of God is for you. That's a great one right there. And then staying away from the intoxicants and drugs and things that can harm your judgment. And then be filled with the Spirit of the living God. And then worship and fellowship with the saints. All of these things, along with learning to be content with what you have. All of those things. Simple things. And they all come right out of God's Word. If we'll learn to live that way, Your life will be filled with joy and happiness. And you know, I believe it is God's will for you to be thankful. God wants you to be thankful. He wants me to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There it is. It's God's will for you to be thankful. It says it right there. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. What is God's will for me? To be thankful. Quit complaining. I don't know too many people that want to surround themselves with complainers. Usually people want to flee. Dear Lord, deliver me from that group. They get together and all it is one sad story after another. And I come out of there, I'm depressed, I'm worse off than when I went in. Dear Lord, deliver me from my friends. Ever felt that way? Yeah, sometimes we need to get God's... And listen, but that's an important point. Listen to me. God wants us to surround ourselves with godly friends. Now, we all have friends in the world, and I have some friends I grew up with. I don't see too many of them anymore because my ministry is in the church. But I still have friends that are in the world. But my close friends, the ones I like to be around, they're godly people. They're people who share the same values that I have. They're the values that God wants us all to have. Don't surround yourself with complainers, people who are always finding fault about this one. Surround yourself with people who love God and have a compassionate spirit, and they pray for one another, and if they see a fault in another person, they don't judge again. They just say, let's pray for that person, and they need to get over it, and only God can help them. Let's just pray for them and keep it positive. But to get together and just hash over stuff, that doesn't glorify the Lord at all. And you're going to get depressed. And you're going to have a hard time being thankful about anything until you get deliverance from that. Then you'll really be thankful. Thank you, Jesus. I've been delivered. I've been set free. Reminds me of that chorus. I've been delivered. I've been set free. God has taken those complainers away from me. That's my own little ad lib, but... It doesn't really go like that. Yeah, to have a heart of thanksgiving. Have a heart of thanksgiving. That's what God wants. That's the will of God, that we be thankful. And my prayer for you is that not just today, but during this week, and, you know, I hope you gather with a family, if you're able to, or friends. Get together with some, hopefully there's godly people. Some of us don't always have that choice. Some of you might have unsaved relatives. And pray before you go to those guys. Some of you might be dreading. I have a good friend, and there was a family gathering coming up, and he just dreaded it. He knew what was going to go on. But you know, and sometimes you're put in those situations, but if you pray before you go and say, you know, Lord, this time, this year, maybe you could use me as a tool in your hands. Help me to somehow minister at least one of my relatives there, you know, at least one of them. Maybe God, you can use me that way. If you pray that way, God will do it. He'll open the door and he'll do it. You never know. Go into it with a good, positive attitude. And even though you're dreading it, just say, Lord, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing it for you. And if you have a positive attitude, and this Thanksgiving season, as you gather around your tables and you're just talking with each other and conversing, don't allow things to come in between you. Keep the focus on what's positive and what's good. What's good. Ask God to use you that way. And let the spirit of thanksgiving reign. Don't allow anything to come into your gatherings that's going to fracture that spirit in you, in your heart, and in the lives of others. Just thank the Lord. If something comes up, it's difficult to deal with, just kind of back off and leave it in the hands of the Lord and keep a positive spirit and be kind to everyone and wish them well and pray for them and believe God for the best. And God then can use you as an important tool in the work of his kingdom. Keys to living the thankful life. That's what I want to be. I don't ever want to be accused of being ungrateful. I, you know, that's a terrible thing. That people have received blessings. And I've seen that in life. I've seen where people have been given so much, and there's just nothing but ingratitude there. And you know, you wonder, about people like that. Don't ever be like that. Be thankful for everything God has given you. And even when you don't understand some situations that are going on in your life, turn to the Lord. It says to give thanks in all things. Give thanks in all things. And God will reveal some things, important lessons to you if you do that. Keys to living the thankful life. Lord, let that happen in my life. That ought to be our prayer. Would you bow your heads with me as we close? As we bow our heads in this prayer right now, and maybe there have been things going on in your life, and the enemy has a way of distracting us and getting our attention off the Lord. And we can focus on some things that are irritating so much that we lose sight of who God is and where he is, and we can lose that joy. And I'm just going to ask right now for you to commit that to the Lord. If that's you today, if that's what's been happening in your life, just put that aside. Commit it to God and say, Jesus, Lord, take this away. I don't want to focus on those negative things. Like, I want to be positive. I want to look to you, and I want to rejoice and in everything give thanks. Just surrender that to the Lord right now and ask God to give you the kind of attitude you need as I pray. Lord, you see your people, Lord, you know what we're all facing. And this is the time of year that we set aside as a nation. We set it aside to say thanks, to give you thanks, really. Not everybody's going to do that. Some will see it as just another holiday celebration, and some will do some very foolish things this time of year, and not everybody's going to live in such a way that it's going to be pleasing to you. But for your people, I pray, those who are here this morning in particular, oh God, I just pray that you will use everybody in this place in a special way this Thanksgiving. Many are going to be gathering with their families or close friends. And as they do that, may the Spirit of Jesus be there in the midst. I ask, dear God, that you would help us to be those who would have hearts that are truly thankful for what you have done. We think of Calvary, and that stands supreme in our thoughts right now of the greatest sacrifice. If for nothing else, to be thankful for Calvary, the fact that we've been set free, that we can experience real joy, and we can have hope for tomorrow. All these good things that come from God because of what Jesus did. If not for anything else, for that, Lord, that we would be thankful and rejoice in that this Thanksgiving time. And I pray, Lord, that you would keep us in your divine care and help us to be your instrument of peace and grace to others who are suffering. Let that spirit of thanksgiving reign supreme in our hearts, because your Holy Spirit is within, helping us and motivating us to be the kind of people you want us to be. Now I ask that blessing, O Lord. May it be for everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I love Thanksgiving. How about you? Some of you are saying, well, I love the turkey and the cranberry sauce and the stuffing. Well, I like those things too. But I love Thanksgiving. Let's not just rush through it. You know, we're all headed towards Christmas. And the thing that distresses me is we won't even give time for people to... It used to be this time of year you saw nothing but advertisements about Thanksgiving. You didn't see anything about Christmas until a week after Thanksgiving. That's not true anymore. I mean, I saw Christmas decorations up at least 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, that they were getting out. And you're rushing through these holidays. Let's not do that. Let's just slow down. Let's enjoy Thanksgiving. It's a great holiday. It's a wonderful day. And it teaches our kids something. You know, the idea of being grateful, to have gratitude in our hearts for what we've got. And I believe God can make this a very blessed time for all of us. Would you stand with me? Praise God. Don't forget tonight, I mentioned this evening, we're going to have a great time together. And you know that old saying, the more the merrier? The more the merrier. There's a lot of truth to that. The more people you have gathered, when you have a time of celebration, like, it makes it a lot more fun. I mean, it's nice too to have, I thank God for the faithful few who show up sometimes and some of the things we have here. I thank God for them. Man, if they didn't show up, it'd be me and my wife, you know, so... I can always count on her. She'll be there. But you know, I can't always say. So, the more the merrier. Why don't you just mark that aside? It's not a big deal. I mean, just mark it down. 6 o'clock, come and be with the saints, and we'll have a good time fellowshipping and have a special time just to say thank you to the Lord. You'll be thinking about it today, all right? I mean, if we always give you the chance to opt out, as we pass the mic, and if you don't want to say it, that's okay. We're not going to put you on the spot if you don't want to say anything. But it's a nice time. Even the kids get involved in it, and they say what they're thankful for. Hey, some of you parents may find something out about your kids that they're really thankful for you in their life. You know, say thank you for Mom, thank you for Dad. You know, so we find some interesting things out sometimes from the children when they say thank you to the Lord. But that's tonight, and the pie fellowship. Bring that pie. I know there's a few pies that some of these ladies make that are really good. You don't want to miss out on that. And see if they bring them tonight, okay? Lord, we love you. We thank you. And as we leave this place, may we continue to experience the wonder of your presence that we've felt throughout this entire service. May it go with us until we gather together again as saints of God, loving one another and loving our God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day.
On my own, now that I am seen.